Hi, welcome to episode 3 of Arby's Isn't That Bad. I am your host, John Bilancini. My guest this week is one of the first comedians I met when I started doing comedy. We started about the same time. He's a really, really funny guy. And it was a pleasure to be able to sit down and talk to him because I feel like we hadn't really had like an in-depth conversation, even though I've known him for the duration of my time in comedy in New York City. His name is Dave Bergman. He's a great guy, and I think you're going to enjoy the conversation today. So, and we'll also find out if Dave enjoyed his first ever trip to Arby's. If you checked out the earlier episodes, I really appreciate it. If not, you should go back and listen to Sarah and Hattie in episode 1, and then Johnny Rowe last week, who was another excellent guest. And also, if you are enjoying this, let us know. Drop a comment. You can respond to at John Bilancini on Twitter. You can also check out my website if you'd like. It's 80sbaby.com. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I put up a new article related to something that I loved in my childhood, ranging from like the early 80s to the late 90s. And again, that's 80sbaby, I said .com, it's actually 80sbaby.net. EIGHTIESBABY.net. Thanks a lot for listening. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Arby's isn't that bad.
All right, we are recording, and there is a fair amount of background noise, but that's going to be Amy's job to get rid of all that.
That's okay. I'll just project over it. I'll just project over it.
Oh, yeah. Hearing you won't be a problem. It's just that there's a lot of background noise.
That's part of the Arby's ambience. The Arby's, right. If you will.
That's what happens when you record live on tape from... And speaking of that, welcome to Arby's Isn't That Bad, episode 3. I am John Bilancini, and my guest today is another fantastic comedian who has never had Arby's before, and that's Dave Bergman.
What's up, America?
How you doing today, Dave?
Oh, I'm well. I'm digesting.
Yeah, we did just had our Arby's experience. We are recording right now from inside the East 23rd Street Arby's location, and hopefully after this comes out, I'll maybe get some benefits from mentioning them so often during this podcast. But I am recording inside their establishment right now.
Is this branded content by virtue of us being here and putting their name on the front?
It should be. I would think so. I mean, I can't think of a more perfect partnership in terms of branding, but...
I feel like you're nailing their brand voice. It's not that bad!
That's right. As listeners of this podcast know, I am a huge, huge fan of Arby's, but I realized, introducing new people to this, I had to keep the stakes fairly low. So, like the name of the podcast, at the end, when we do a rating, it'll be on a scale of Arby's is bad to Arby's is not that bad. And so far last week, if you listened, you know that Johnny Rowe came to the conclusion that Arby's is not that bad. So we'll see if the streak continues.
Great palate on that guy. So you probably shouldn't have told me because now you're biasing my results.
I'm not. I don't want... I don't.
No, I mean, I know that you're not trying to, but you already did.
I want you to be as honest as you are known to be in the larger community.
Yeah, no, I have integrity.
Dave is a man of integrity. That is 100% true. So,
yeah.
So we did just had our first meal at Arby's. Before we get into what we actually ate, I wanted to just ask you some background questions to figure out why you reached this point in life without having Arby's.
Sure.
And where did you grow up, and what was the fast food scene like where you grew up?
I grew up on Long Island, Comac, Long Island, Suffolk County, home of Rosie O'Donnell, Bob Costas, and So You Think You Could Dance quarterfinalist Courtney Galliano.
Excellent.
And me,
and Dave Bergman.
Standard issue fast food scene. I think all of the big players are out there. I'll say that Jack in the Box and Long John Silver's had basically no presence where I was from.
Okay, I'm not surprised about that.
There was not an Arby's around that I was like aware of, but I'm sure there was an Arby's like at the mall. But I'd say Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell held sway.
Really?
And then it depends if you want to step up and count like shit like Boston Market in it. But I feel like a drive-thru is what makes it what we're talking about here.
Okay. And I think that that's sort of the New York experience when it comes to fast food. It is a little... there's more variety on the island, but for the most part, in this region, it's dominated by the big ones.
Well, I've been enough... certain fast foods just never made it into the city. Like, there are not a lot of Wendy's in Greater New York City at all.
Yes, that's still true.
Yeah. I remember the hype when the first Taco Bell opened in like the Greater Union Square area while I was at NYU.
Mm-hmm.
And people made a pilgrimage to it, like as if you couldn't get tacos anywhere else.
Right, yeah.
Or as if you didn't just constantly have them when you were a child. I don't know. You know, you just take a thing that people don't give a shit about, but you place it in a new context and people are like, do I give a shit about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the same. I think that was the secret to Sonic's success, because they ran ads everywhere they weren't, and then everybody wanted it.
Right.
And then when they opened in New Jersey, there were lines down the street of people waiting to go to Sonic. And Sonic is dog shit for the
is
most
it?
Part.
I bet
it's
it is.
Not good.
I know. I,
their drinks are celebrated, but like the food is not good at all.
There was a time when, like, you know, I'll go to 7-Elevens for the Slurpees, and Sonic the Slushies definitely appealed to me, but. You know, certainly at some point you grow out of frozen sugar water, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that also. Okay, so it's important to keep the context of Long Island, which is just watered down New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I acknowledge that it's not the same, but it's definitely more New York City than it is anywhere else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And so there was also Subway where I grew up, for sure. Mm-hmm. I've had Subway less than 5 or 6 times in my life.
Okay,
as a matter of, well, for one, it's bad.
Yeah.
But for two, it's a matter of principle. In Greater New York City, whether it's Long Island, New York actual, Jersey, there's delis everywhere.
Right.
It is never hard to get a sandwich.
And it's about the same price.
It's about the same price, and like whether Boar's Head is great or not, which I would love to get into on this, by the way, because
okay.
I have like I find it very confusing. But it's certainly better than Subway.
Yeah.
Where, you know what I mean, like the chicken, they paint on grill marks.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you ever go to Subway when you could just go to a deli or a bodega and get a better quality sandwich with more meat on it for the same price?
Mm-hmm.
They tricked everyone into thinking that a foot long just means you get a lot of, it just means that you give me big
a lot
bread.
Of bread, yeah. That's it.
You know what I mean? So I'm no sheep.
I am the exact same way. And actually, I've been in New York since 2007. I have been to Subway once since I moved to New York. And the only reason I went was because my law school friend wanted to go there for lunch. So, but my take was the same one that you just had. It's like, why go to Subway when you get the exact same thing from a deli and you're going to get more and the quality is going to be equal, if not better, every time. So,
but so while we're there, that's the reason I've never been to Arby's. Mm-hmm. Like if I want roast beef, I'm just going to go to a place
okay.
and get roast beef. And if I want fancy roast beef, then I'll go out of my way. But if I'm going to go out of my way, I'm not going to Madison Square Park to find Arby's. I'm going to, like, Katz's or This Little Piggy or,
that's
like,
fair.
You know what I mean? A roast beef, corned beef, pastrami joint.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
so,
that makes sense. And actually, I mean, I grew up, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, but my first experience with roast beef was this place called Rack's, which is basically non-existent now. In the 80s, excuse me. During my, I know, right? This is what it sounds like. In the 80s, when I was a child and Dave was not yet born.
89.
Okay, well, for most of it.
Yeah.
We had a couple Rax's near us. And that was a thing, like, after swimming lessons, we would go to Rax's, and that was our treat. So I got a taste for it then. And then Arby's was a natural evolution from there, because it's essentially the same restaurant. So
is it essentially the same in the way that, like, Carl's Jr. and Hardee's are the same?
They're not. They were never affiliated, but they served the exact same food.
Right.
And this was in the... Arby's has changed a lot in the last decade, where they, you know, now they're, we have the meats, and they have all these crazy sandwiches every couple months. It used to basically just be roast beef, curly fries, their Jamocha shake, and they used to have homestyle fries, too.
When did they start serving wild-caught Alaskan haddock?
That's like last five years, I think.
Because why would somebody who wants fish go to Arby's for that fish?
I think the experience is probably stems from Lent, because I think that's the case for most fast food restaurants.
Interesting.
Is that, yeah, during Lent, there was an option. And then, like, the only reason I ever went to Long John Silver's was during Lent, because I lived in a very Catholic area. I grew up Catholic. And so that was what we would do, like, on Fridays, because then the little kids could get something fried that didn't resemble fish at all.
Interesting.
So I think that's why most of the fast food restaurants do it as well. They slide that in, and that's when they really promote the hell out of it, is, you know, in these coming months, like in March and April.
I never would have thought of that as a Jew.
Yeah, but you know, in New York City, there are...
Oh, of
a
course.
Lot of Catholics.
Everybody
here,
I grew up with is either Jewish or Italian.
Right. But yeah, that's I think that's the reason, pretty much across the board.
Interesting.
they had to start introducing that so that people could keep going during Lent.
Because I know there are people who like the filet of fish at McDonald's. Unironically, they seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think a lot of that is probably from childhood where they got a taste for it because they had to go during Lent or something like that. And also, McDonald's always ran really good deals on the filet of fish in March and April for the same reasons.
I look forward to this coming out in hardcover.
So, okay, well, so your reasoning is good for having never been to Arby's. It makes complete sense. My experience was that I grew up somewhere where we didn't have a lot of delis. I mean, they existed, but it wasn't, like, I am from basically a fast food dominant area, like, you know, suburb to rural, where it's all just, like, strip malls, fast food, that
Would you say
thing.
That people where you're from are malnourished?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
That's fair. At least in nutrients. I mean, they eat a lot, but it's just, yeah.
We're rich in love.
Not the right things.
Yeah.
And I grew up as a hardcore fast food kid for those reasons, because, I mean, my parents were pretty good, but we did probably not the average amount of a lot of the other people in our area, but a lot for places that have wider options.
As a parent, you got to accept the opportunity for an easy win every now and then.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, it's quick. It's simple. Oh, yeah. Normally that was McDonald's, but my mom is also a big Arby's fan. So, and now, even though I still get it in New York on occasion, a lot more in the last 2 months since I'm coming here every week right now, but it's still a treat to me. So, like, when I go to visit my parents, I go to Pizza Hut, I go to Arby's, that sort of thing, just because it's stuff that they don't really have too much about here, and their comfort things.
So with all of the very good pizza available to you here for the same or lower price as Pizza Hut,
no,
when you go home,
I eat the good pizza here, yeah.
Right, but when you go home, you want the shit pizza.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whatever works for
I
you.
Miss it. So.
What matters to me is that you're happy and you keep committing to that beard you've been growing. America, I don't know if you can hear it, but John has been growing a beard. Looks good.
I have since November, and it's not as uniform and nice and full as Dave's, but it's coming in.
Oh, this doesn't grow in this way, man. I look at the beard like a little bonsai tree on my face.
Okay.
Sometimes when I'm stressed out, I will honestly just go trim it for a couple minutes. It helps calm me down.
That's not a bad thing to do. Mm-hmm. I like that. I just look like a slob, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but you're wearing a button down.
Well.
And your hair is always nice and brill creamed.
Yeah, that is true. pardon me. Sorry. Okay, so we got a pretty good idea, I guess, as to why you didn't go. Did you have any general feelings about Arby's? Like, did you have a preconception of it prior to going?
I figured it can't be as bad as Subway.
Okay.
I also figured, you know, in terms of what kind of foods would make sense in a fast food format, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you go down there, and I don't know if that is just for show to comfort people like me and reassure you that it's real food, but, like, they have a big brisket sitting there in a warmer,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah.
You get the sense that they're actually taking an actual brisket, and they're slicing it off, and that's what it is. It's not like a regular strip of reconstituted meat and they're coloring this part pink so it looks like it was smoked. I mean, I can at least take them at face value mm-hmm. that there's meats. And that makes sense to me as like a fast food thing, because if you cure it, it'll travel well. And all
right.
you have to do is send over a few giant hocks of beef and, you know, some bread and some horseradish sauce or whatever, yeah. and you got yourself a chain.
Yeah.
So I thought
you
it could
it
be
while,
good.
And then yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to try the haddock.
Sure. Right? I never have either.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm never going to get into those things. I will respect the fact that they're like, oh, we have a smokehouse brisket sandwich. It's different from our old brisket sandwich because we put an onion ring on it. Like, whatever, that's fine. That's standard issue fast food stuff. I will say I know that you didn't like the brisket.
Right, that's right. Yeah, we haven't gotten the meal just yet, but that's true. A little preview.
I think I preferred it.
Okay.
I also just like brisket more than roast beef. Mm-hmm. That's the other reason I didn't go to Arby's, is I think that roast beef has the least charisma out of pretty much any deli meat but oven roasted turkey.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it is just like, I mean, sometimes you just want red meat, and I get that, but every other variety of beef, like pastrami or corned beef or any real cut, I think is better than roast beef. The idea of somebody who gets, like, really excited for, like, a roast beef dinner, I've just never understood. I find it super bland.
I think that's fair, and it makes sense, especially when you compare it to pastrami and corned beef, because they, they're fattier, they're, you know, usually a better kind of meat.
They're seasoned. I know white people hate seasoning things, but you know, they're better. But the other thing I was thinking too in terms of Arby's and my expectations, I was like, okay, so I compare Subway to a deli. I know the deli is better, right? Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, why is it better? Well, that's the weird thing about delis is that they all serve, for the most part, the exact same product now. Right. Any deli in New York is probably carrying Boar's Head. Mm-hmm. You'll see some Thuman's or some Dietz and Watson, but like in the past 15, 20 years, Boar's Head has like gotten a stranglehold in the market.
Yeah, and they actually, they bill it as being the sort best. Of a premium.
Yes, but that's the thing I've always wondered, and I don't know, I've looked on the internet and I can't find a straight answer, like, is Boar's Head good or not? Mm-hmm. Would I know the difference?
Yeah, that's
because I know that, I remember growing up, I remember when I was like 9 or 10 for the first time seeing that big neon sign, and like proudly serving Boar's Head. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh shit, that must mean it's good.
And it's so ubiquitous here.
Right. But so I don't actually, I would love to do a blind test with Boar's Head and Thuman and Dietz and Watson and other things and mm-hmm. see if they're good. I'm sure that like, I don't even know if this little piggy in Lower or in the East Village is still around anymore, but like
I think
night
it's close,
and day, but... probably is. It's probably been years. Night and day, completely different if you have that real shit versus like your Boar's Head stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, that started getting in my head too, because I'm like, you think, oh, fast food, there's probably all kinds of filler and shit and arbitrary stuff in it. But then I'm like, I don't even know what's in Boar's Head. None of the animals that make up those cold cuts, for the most part, look like
they're
the little
that
thing that they slice at. Yeah, exactly. Honestly, the older I've gotten, the more I will like pick which cold cut I'm going to get based on how believable
right.
the big hunk of meat is in the little display.
To that point, as a child, and actually it holds true today, my favorite sandwich was a salami sandwich, and that doesn't resemble anything on Earth.
At least they're not even pretending that it does.
That is
right.
True, yeah.
All sausage byproducts, they're coming out and they're being like, we're taking a bunch of shit and we're putting it in some intestine casing, and you're gonna like it, mm-hmm. you little fatty.
Right.
Enjoy. Right. And I can get with that. What I can't get with is like, I look at a thing and it kind of looks like the whole torso of a turkey, but I'm like, how would it still be that shape if you pulled all the bones and organs out?
Right.
Why did you even bother doing that? Yeah. I don't like to be tricked. Anyway, that's what I've been thinking since you asked me to do this podcast. And I came at it thinking, like, this might be, at least within their specialties, right, like their beef or whatever, it might be just as good or better than a deli. I was
right.
open to that being a possibility.
Okay. I have a feeling that that's not the case. But
that's all right.
Why don't we, we'll actually get into the meal right now. And as I mentioned previously, I'm trying something new every time I come. My go-to sandwich is the beef and cheddar, but I'm trying to do other stuff just so it's new to me too, this experience. And what Dave and I did today was we got a beef and cheddar, then we also got the smokehouse brisket, and we just split each of them.
Splitsies! That's honestly why I'm getting married. I wanted to lock in my ability to do splitsies at any restaurant.
I don't do that very much with my wife.
Why are you married then? That's like the best
well,
part.
Because when there's something I want, I just want it to be mine. So I just
I guess.
Which is a bad overall philosophy for marriage. So just throw that out there.
You've never been like, I don't know if I want this or that on the menu. So then you go, hey, Amy, how do you feel about going splitsies on these two things?
We do it occasionally, but more often than not, it's not the case. And then also, she always offers me part of hers like right away,
as a thing.
And then if I remember somewhere along the line, I'll ask her. I'm so focused on whatever my thing is.
You're just like 90% that we done. You're like,
basically,
yeah. Okay.
Well, the other thing is, she takes the opportunity when we go out to get a lot of fish dishes because we don't cook fish at home. And
why? Because it makes your apartment smell?
Well, that is true. But also, I'm just not a big fan of fish.
No.
I've grown to like it in more preparations as I've gotten older. But so she's eating like a baked cod or something like that.
And oh, well, cod's whatever. I'm not trying to. Amy's okay. A wonderful woman. Cod is. Not a likable fish.
First thing that came to mind. But, yeah, you know, like she's getting like whatever their big fish is, and I'm eating a burger again.
Whatever's big and fish right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever's hot.
Just to finish off the rest of our meals, we each got a small order of curly fries, and we both went with, this was actually a suggestion that I believe Sarah made on the first podcast, and that was to do a suicide, since which is not a term Dave was familiar with for this, but it was certainly a regional Ohio thing where you just get a little bit of like every sort of pop that they have, And so today, for my drink, I did Dr. Pepper, Coke, orange, and Sprite. And Dave, what did you do for yours?
Well, first off, I want to make it clear. On Long Island, we do mix sodas with each other. That is definitely a thing that we all did, but suicides were a certain kind of wind sprint that you would have
to
do.
Well, we had those as well.
I just can't imagine how they start. What is it, the idea that you're just really putting your life in the hands of, like, the fountain by mixing those
I don't know
things?
The origin. All I know is that when the first fast food place I ever went to where you could get your own drinks, because like when I was really young, most of them just had it behind the counter, and that was Burger King. And so that was when we started doing that, because when you have the option and you're 7 years old, you want everything.
Of course.
And it was just, I'm sure I didn't refer to it first as that. Someone else did, and I just picked up that was what it was called. So, and apparently that's also what Sarah called it out in New Mexico. So I think there is, it does cover a few regions.
Yeah. Well,
and we also had the wind sprints, but
maybe in the follow-up series, you can trace back the etymology of that. But so I
entire
did.
Entire podcast on suicides. Yeah.
Well, John and I were talking about this earlier. Yeah. Well, there's... Okay.
Nevertheless.
Yeah. I believe that you need a strong base. I think where John went wrong, other than mixing soda families, was just making it equal parts of all this random shit. Mm-hmm. Whereas I started with half root beer, and then I threw in some Dr. Pepper, some iced tea, and some Coke Zero to make it healthy.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
And it just tastes like, you know, weird root beer. Mm-hmm. And it works. I also have not had soda outside of a cocktail in years.
It's been a while for me, too.
Yeah.
Although, so. I have to say, my first impression that I told you was I really, really didn't like it at all. It's grown on me since. Like, I'm sort of enjoying it now, and I think it's mostly because the Dr. Pepper is just sort of coming
slowly
to the forefront.
Absorbing the other.
Yeah, that's the primary taste right now.
I don't get how does Dr. Pepper have 23 flavors? I realize that this sounds like an early Seinfeld bit,
right.
But, like, what the fuck does 23 flavors mean? It's got one. It's Dr. Pepper flavor.
It's like the lemoners and spices. You know, that's just what they. And it makes sense. I think it's probably. Oh, there's actually, if you go online, people have sussed it all out. I think actually on the Doughboys podcast, that was an early one. They talked about that, and they had them identify all the flavors.
And they did.
They did eventually, but you know, with the aid of the internet.
How many of them are sugar?
I mean, that's the main one. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So the soda was a thing unto itself that I don't normally mess with. But it was fine. I'm happy with my experiments.
Good.
The root beer's carrying a lot of the weight.
So we're not gonna go to final judgments, but let me know what you thought about all the various parts of the meal, and then I'll talk about that as well, and then we'll talk about our overall impressions, and then we'll go to a rating.
I will start with the curly fries, which were good. They were the same curly fries that you get anywhere. I'm convinced that there is one manufacturer that makes curly fries and just puts them in different bags and ships them to every diner, supermarket, and specialty fast food chain in the world. They were fine, but they are not like McDonald's has a fry, Burger King has a fry, Wendy's has a fry, and they're all distinct. These were just the curly fries that I've gotten everywhere.
Okay.
To their credit, they did not fall into the usual danger of dramatically undercooking, like, the middle of the curly fries.
Okay.
They were all crispy through, positive time, and I mainly used them as a vessel for the spicy three pepper sauce and the horsey sauce, because they were out of Arby's sauce.
Right.
But the Arby's sauce was on,
yeah, it was on
the roast beef and cheddar.
Right. The roast beef and cheddar.
The burger. Where the fuck do you think you are?
I know.
So, yeah, you know, the horsey sauce, it was horseradish sauce. John had to explain that to me. I didn't put that together. I thought it was like, is Arby's logo a horse? And I was like, no, it's a hat. And then he's like, yeah, it's horseradish sauce. And I was like, oh yeah, it's a beefery.
We talked about this on John's episode, but just so you know, Arby's literally
roast
stands
beef,
for
right?
Roast beef.
Yeah. I feel like that's like a common Reddit fact.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Then the roast beef sandwich was good. Is it a slice of cheese, or is it like a cheese sauce?
No, they
sauce,
do. They
right?
do a cheese sauce.
And I always wonder, is it like, did they taste test and they've tweaked the idea of American or cheddar cheese and that came out in a sauce form?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they do it to save overhead? Or is it just like cheese whiz? Like, why the cheese sauce?
Right.
I don't think we'll ever find an answer to that question. But those are the kind of things that I wonder about.
Okay. And it has been the signature for a while. I don't know how they originally did it then.
It was pretty good with the bun and some, like, some garlic on it or something.
Oh, it's like,
right?
An onion bun.
Onion bun, yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, no, it was solid for sure. You know, the beef was a bit greasy.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely, you know, it scratched an itch. I would say that I prefer the smokehouse brisket, but okay. Brisket is also, in a vacuum, one of my favorite foods.
Okay, mine too.
And, yeah, you know, I enjoyed it. They throw in the little crunchies in the smokehouse brisket. That nice texture is pretty good.
Nice, actually. Yeah.
You know, the buns are fine. I mean, I got what I expected to get. To be honest, I would have expected them to be more, you know, piled high, tough guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and they weren't.
And that's in the image. That's, yeah, of course.
And that was disappointing. I figured
I was surprised too. I thought it was a bigger sandwich just in general.
You know, I figured that's, I mean, if you want to do the deli feel, and I also assume that, like, the main appeal to Arby's is probably in places where, like, you can't go walk half a mile in any direction and find a sandwich. I assume it's mostly in places where, like, there's not any kind of deli culture.
Well, that's what I'd say. Right? That's why I got into it, because that was where I had roast. That was my experience with roast beef as a child.
But I still feel like they were going for that classic, thick New York sandwich experience, and they under-delivered there.
Okay, I can see that.
I was expecting to have more food than I wanted.
Okay.
Like when you go to Carnegie Deli and it's like, nobody could... this isn't a sandwich. This
they give
is
you
a sandwich.
Pound and a half.
Yeah, yeah, and just like a plate full of beef. Like, I can't do anything with this.
Yeah.
It's a good problem to have, but like, that is the annoying thing about premium delis. I know that's not what we're talking about. That's not why we're here, but like, you go to Katz's, you get a $19 sandwich. You're going to leave full probably. Like, mm-hmm. They're going to give you a whole plate of pickles. They're going to put more meat than you can actually wrap your mouth around for the sandwich. But I would love to just get 2/3 of that. And mm-hmm. instead of paying $19 for a sandwich, just pay like
$13. Yeah.
$13. Yeah. I would love for that to be an option. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know.
I guess you can go halves with somebody. But
I'm not a sandwich scientist. Yeah. But so anyway, that is my individual review, I guess, of all the items.
I'm not going to talk too much about the curly fries I've mentioned before. They are my favorite.
What
fast
do you
food
love
fry.
About them?
And
do you think that they are different from if you were to go to a diner and get curly fries?
I don't. I do think that I would say they're definitely better than deli curly fries, which some places serve. And the reason for that is because I think oftentimes delis undercook their fries.
Yes.
That's not a problem. It's just a matter of personal taste, I think. Curly fries are my favorite french fry. So there are only certain places where you can get that in a like a fast food context.
Sure.
So I know what I'm getting when I come to Arby's.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I mentioned that they used to have homestyle fries. They were really good. And when I was a kid, I used to, because I would never dream of like being like, Mom, can I get both of these? So I would have to pick one or the other. And then I always regretted, even though I enjoyed them, I always regretted not getting the other one. But I love them, so.
See, but then you got married, and you could have been doing splitsies.
That's true. That's very true. My wife Amy is not a fan of Arby's in general.
Well,
she puts up with it because of me, but she doesn't really care for it.
I hope you guys can work through this.
Yeah.
It's
worked so far.
But I feel like we've had this discussion through social media at some point, but like, okay, I feel like I know the answer to this, but what do you think are the worst kind of fries?
Steak fries. Definitely steak fries.
Okay.
Yeah, type.
Definitely the worst. So here's my feeling on fries. I think curly fries are fine. I think that they're often undercooked, but it's not necessarily fair to judge them mm-hmm. like that. But I think that's the problem with steak fries, is that they require the most cooking,
mm-hmm.
and they usually get undercooked, and people judge them in that way.
Okay.
But I think a nice, crisp, maybe even a little bit burnt steak fry is the best fry you can get.
Okay.
But you are playing with fire if you order steak fries.
There's so much surface area that there's a very good chance it's going to be mealy and soft.
Exactly. So I understand the hate, but on the same token, like, I grew up in a very big honeydew and cantaloupe family.
Okay.
And I think both of those fruits are very unfairly maligned in the media because they are used as a filler in a fruit salad,
mm-hmm.
and they're served underripe or not even close to ripe.
Some
and people
go,
they
always
suck.
Getting the worst version of it.
Right, but if you were to actually go out in season and get yourself a nice honeydew, oof,
mm-hmm.
I gotta eat.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah, because I had the same experience growing up. I didn't care for them for the reasons you just mentioned.
Try it out.
They were so ubiquitous.
Cantaloupe has a higher floor and a lower ceiling.
Okay.
Bad honeydew is completely inedible. Great honeydew is one of the best fruits.
Okay.
Anyway, America, I just want you to know, I say things like, fuck out of here, in casual conversation.
That's awesome.
Because I'm from Greater New York.
Also a very rare endorsement of honeydew and cantaloupe, so.
Yeah. I'm taking a stance here.
Not sponsored, unfortunately. So I knew what I was getting with the beef and cheddar. I've said before, it's my favorite sandwich that they have here. I think it's great. Enjoyed it a lot. Didn't care for the brisket. I think it was mostly in the preparation, though. I felt like it was a little cold. It didn't seem to fit very well. So I think those are the issues.
And see, I had it second, and I was expecting the temperature to be done, right? Because okay. I had my first half of the roast beef with cheddar or whatever, and then I gave that to you, and you had your first half of the brisket, and then you handed it to me.
Right.
Right. So I didn't factor that kind of thing in.
Okay.
Do you think it is fair to judge the menu item based on one experience, or do you think that you need to try the same item two or three different times to truly get it?
Unless it's truly awful, and you can tell it's because you just don't like the item, I think you need to do it more than once. I think that this was good enough that I could try it again and expect that I would probably get a better version of it.
You should probably come back with Amy, have her get the wild-caught Alaskan haddock.
Of course, yeah.
And then you guys can go splitsies. And it's a low-risk proposition for both of you.
That's something I may do. It's probably going to take a couple months, though, because after I record the next two episodes of this, I probably won't want to be in the vicinity of Arby's for a little while.
When's your anniversary?
It's September.
Okay, she well,
would,
maybe.
That would not work for her. We're comfortable enough. You know, we've been married for a while, but I don't think she's going to go for Arby's. But we'll figure it out.
You never know until you try.
It's honestly always, and I've mentioned this on here before, doing that a lot. When I travel, I seek out Arby's because they're somewhat rare in New York. So often that'll be our stop. So like probably like next time we go to Boston, we'll probably get Arby's on the way.
You look for a little piece of home away from home.
I do, yeah.
Hi, I'm Dave Arby's.
yes. I really liked the onion straws that were on it. I thought that worked really well.
Yeah, I think that texture is nice and it elevated it above your standard. Like, that's the thing. If you want to do a fast food version of something that exists in like a middle brow or a highbrow form, mm-hmm. you need to like escalate it in some way, right? You don't want to go toe to toe with a sandwich that is going to clearly cost more, like where the meat was clearly more expensive because it's a more premium cut and it's processed in a superior way. You don't want to compare yourself to that. So you need to be like, we've slathered it with sauce and we put onion rings on it. And like, right. You know what I mean? That is the smart way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like, I think the brilliance of a Philly cheesesteak, right, is that you're supposed to put fucking Cheese Whiz on it.
Yeah.
Right? And that way you're not judging it on, like, oh, like, how does the gourmet provolone interact with it? No, it doesn't matter. Like, it's supposed to be shitty greasy beef and it's supposed to be Cheese Whiz.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any kind of beef with either of those things, then somebody from Philly will just call you gay and they don't have to engage with your actual opinion of the sandwich.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah. I can see that. I think because we're at about a half an hour, so we're going to wrap up. Give me your overall impression of Arby's, the meal, the restaurant itself, and then a rating on a scale of Arby's is bad to Arby's is not that bad.
Surprisingly peaceful up here, although it is the upstairs seating area of an Arby's on a rainy Wednesday night.
Right.
But there's a lot of wood paneled walls. I'll give them a nice ambiance. This is one location. I'm just kind of taken from what I see here.
This is the nicest Arby's in New York.
That's
why I'm doing all of them here.
Yeah. Surprised by some of the variety on the menu. Again, I figured they would just stick to the classics. Wasn't expecting the beef. Wasn't necessarily expecting the random four cookies that they have in the display there.
Mm-hmm.
There's just four cookies there.
Yeah, I know.
just so you know, they got more than one of each of the two kinds. I think here's how I would put it. If I was with somebody and they were like, yo, I really want Arby's, mm-hmm. and I were hungry, I'd be like, yeah, fuck it. I'll grab some Arby's.
Mm-hmm.
I generally don't do fast food much, and when I do, I'm usually a chicken guy.
Okay.
It took me years to try a fast food burger for the first time, because for some reason those just grossed me out more than like getting whatever kind of breaded chicken thing that there was. I was a very picky eater as a kid. I would prefer an Arby's sandwich to most fast food burgers.
Okay.
I'm excluding like your Five Guys and your Shake Shacks or whatever.
Sure, like the elevated fast food.
Yeah, your freemium, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Burger King's got good burgers.
You should coin that if it hasn't been coined already.
What?
Freemium burgers.
Yeah. Sure. You know what? You can have it. That's my gift to the cast. from a scale of Arby's is bad to Arby's is not that bad, I would say Arby's is not bad.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very, very happy to say that, to hear you say that. As I've mentioned before, my feelings on Arby's are well known, but I am coming in fresh for each episode because it's, and honestly, I think I'm only going to rate what I haven't had before.
You have to have the fish. America needs to know.
Oh, I mean, what
if
I'm
the wild caught Alaskan haddock is good?
It's not happening. I already have my next two planned out.
I didn't really look too much at my menu options because I wanted the brisket, and you were like, "I'm getting the brisket," mm-hmm. and then you were like, "You should probably their standard is the roast beef and cheddar or whatever." So I figured I'd be a fool to get some obscure thing off the menu. Like, you don't go to, I think you can get turkey at Katz's mm-hmm. if you ask for it.
Nobody does.
But why would you go there and get turkey? You know, right. I wanted to go straight for the classic. So to have a full opinion, I'd probably want to try other things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, pleasantly surprised, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm a full Arbeliever yet.
Sure. No, that's fair.
But I, miles and miles above Subway.
That's good, and I agree. For this particular meal, I'm going with a tentative Arby's is not that bad because I didn't love the menu item I've never had before. I will say the suicide grew on me. It turns out that I'm still a fan of suicide. But the...
I could tell from your beard!
Right. but there were enough good things about the brisket that puts it in the realm of not that bad. I wouldn't call it bad. So I'm going to give a qualified Arby's is not that bad this week. Curly fries were great, but I'm not even judging those this week. So good. That's great. So far, three episodes, all not that bad. Dave, where can people find you? Oh, this is the plug section.
This is the plug section.
It's kind of
section.
A weird transition, but...
I'm going to start running a show monthly at General Assembly in New York.
Okay.
Not far from where we are now, actually, like two or three blocks. But they could find me online at Bad News Bergs on Twitter. That's bad, spelled like bad, news, spelled like news, and Bergs, Bergs.
And Dave is a good Twitter follow, so you should check him out.
Yeah, I basically took all of 2016 through 2018 off of devoted Twittering because I was doing professional social media. But now that I'm not doing that anymore, I've refound my love for saying dumb shit to nobody in particular.
That's good. So you should check it out. And also when Dave's show starts, go check it out. And depending on when this drops, it might be happening already. And if so, I will have mentioned it already in the intro to this episode. So you'll know about it. And you can find me at John Bilancini on Twitter. You can follow this podcast at the thing I said at the beginning of the episode. I forgot what it is right now.
Yeah, you definitely got to put it in the metadata.
That's
right. People read the summary of this episode, they're going to know where they need to go because John has his P's and Q's taken care of.
I will do that. Absolutely. And we have two more episodes, so check us out next week. Our guest is going to be Kenise Mobley, and she is another New York City comedian who has never had Arby's. Dave, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you doing this today. Go find Dave out in the comedy world. And me too, if I'm doing anything. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John. Thanks, yeah. America.
Take care. Bye.